This morning, I'd like to speak about being independent, right? So our theme this morning is about working together in the kingdom of God, in the growth of our church, in the growth of ourselves and others as well. So we just want to talk about being independent. Don't worry about that word up there, because I made it up. So I'm learning something from Dan. I'm just making up my own stuff. So I like that Dan said last night. Last Sunday, he said, "What are you going to do? Fire me?" Like that's my man. Like that's good. Good way you go, Dan. Okay. We know that Neil Armstrong, the astronaut, he spoke some words when he was on the moon, right? And those words, I'm sure that all of us know. And he said, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." And really, this was really in a celebration of, a few words, but it said so much about our society, about our humanity. And that is that it really was talking about, mankind in his infant steps becoming independent of Mother Earth, right? That's what it was all about. Of the fact that we've been living here, we've been tied down here, and now we're breaking loose and we're being able to get away. So as we look at this word of independence, for example, we have a lot of things that come into our mind when we think about independence. The word of itself, when we look at it, it just, I can just do what I want to do. Like it's very close to retirement. But, you get this word independence, I can do what I want to do. It conjures up the idea of freedom. And we've all heard many, many times, probably Martin Luther King, right? The big speech about free at last, like I have a dream, right? But I've seen some people get freedom. And the dream turned out not very well. And so we need to understand oftentimes that freedom carries some unforeseen responsibilities with it as well. And then if we think of independence again, there's just that release from suffocating restrictions. Like, we have so many things tied on us, and so when we become independent, wow, things are really going to be great. And we're being able to do whatever. Somebody is always telling me what to do. Ever heard that? Ever felt that way? There's always somebody trying to tell me what to do. And then, of course, independence, there's that excitement within us about building one's own future. And that is exciting. When you're just being able to look ahead and saying, wow, I'm going to be able to just expand my horizons. I'm going to be able to do what I want to do and just get out there and become something, right? There's a business slogan that says, "Why help somebody else fulfill their dream? Build your own dream." And a lot of times, there's a lot of stuff involved in all that. And then, of course, independence as well, as we begin to think of it, it opens up the door to self-determination. I'm going to be what I want to be. And nations, they struggle. And those that have struggled with independence, of becoming independent, right, loose from all other nations that were maybe monopolizing them and so forth, they also know that there's independence is a little different than what you sort of imagine it to be. Our first president in Tanzania, I think he really got it right. And he said, when he made the announcement to the people of Tanzania, he said, independence for us, it will not mean that we will have more food on our tables. It will not mean that we will have more luxuries in our homes. But it will mean that we will be able to run our own affairs. And so all of those other things that he mentioned, they did not exist. They did not happen during independence. But they were able to govern their own affairs. And isn't that part of our lives as well? When we become independent, there's a lot of things that drop off. And independence can also mean separation maybe from a former lifestyle, like maybe starting a new job or starting a new profession. And then we hear people say, I am an independent person. And when I hear that, wow, you better put up some a few flags, right? Because you never quite know what that means, what that person is trying to tell you when they say that they're independent. And sometimes maybe what they do mean is that I don't fit in where I'm at. I don't fit in with all of the rules of all the regulations. Like, I just want to be my own person. And we have that happening right within families, right? We'll have all kinds of family members doing all kinds of things. But sometimes there's one family member that just says, hey, like, this is not me. You don't know. Is it rebellion? Like, is this being independent, just being their own person? Or, you know, are they just, they don't fit in for some reason? And sometimes there's, this is a good characteristic sometimes as well. To have this independent spirit of saying, no, like, I can do things, but I'm going to be different. Because, you know, when you have people like this that don't need to have somebody looking over their shoulder, they are, like, sometimes they're an advantage in a business or in an organization, right? Because they're outward, they're forward thinking, and they're thinking outside what we can do differently, what we've done before that would be more beneficial and so forth. And I can tell you from experience, some of these people are hard to work with. You can say amen if you like. Like, as long as the guy's over there, you're saying amen about, right? But, and sometimes missionaries oftentimes fall under this category of being independent and wanting to do their own thing, and this characteristic of wanting to get something accomplished. And they need it because they need to be self-starters. You know, in all of my time on the field, we weren't astronauts. Like, nobody was calling us in the morning and saying, oh, good morning out there, and playing a song for us, right? If we were lucky, our supervisor came like once every 3 years. So we had better be self-starters or nothing would have happened in our mission and so forth. But the problem came, of course, when you got together. Like, it's wonderful when you're working alone, right? When the ladies are in their own kitchen, no problem. Oh, no, sorry, I'm not going to go there. Okay, so when you get missionaries working, if they're 1,000 kilometers away, we're always 1,000 kilometers away from each other, no problem. But we had to get together 3 times a year, like for 3 days. Can you imagine that? Like, all of these independent guys that had their own ideas and so forth. But in saying that, in being independent and having our own ways to do things and being self-starters and all of that, yet we had to recognize that, we wanted to be a collective force within the country. And so we had to put some of those things away and work together and bringing our independence together for a common goal. And that was to reach men and women and to train young people in the ministry and so forth. So we really had to become dependent upon each other. And we have references in the Word of God of independent people. Lot was one of them, right? Abram's nephew. He was in Sodom. He settled near Sodom. And then after a short while, he settled in Sodom, right? This whole part is sometimes of a transition that takes place. Like, we can be out there and then suddenly, you know, just slowly, right? We migrate. And so independence carries the potential danger of wrong place, wrong crowd with it. And that's one thing that we need to watch in our lives. That as we become independent, that we don't get into the wrong crowd or to be in the wrong place. And certainly the children of Israel as a nation, they were oftentimes disappointing God because they wanted to do their own thing. And here was God. He wanted them to join them. He wanted to work with them. And sometimes they did. And other kind of times they were overcome by their own spirit of independence and of importance of going it alone. And so the outcome seldom was good when this independence was allowed to take over. So independence generally has two stages. First of all, as young people coming out of a cocoon, right, of childhood into adolescence, struggling to find independence while at the same time not really being ready for it. And, let's just say example, right? Young person wants to have a vehicle, wants to drive a vehicle, and but they strain at taking out the household garbage. Anybody had that experience? So there are those things that we strain, that we find it difficult, you know, like to make that jump, right? And so I just have a bit of advice for those of us that are maybe having teenagers, young people in our homes. We just need to recognize that these teenagers, young people, that they are not children anymore. And sometimes this is where we do the wrong things, I think, sometimes in our own families, because we just want to see that child as continuing to be a child, right? But as parents, we need to embrace the growth of that child every year. They're changing. We're not changing much anymore, except for up here, maybe. But, you know, they're changing. And so we need to assert their grown-upness, right? And not just belittling them all the time of saying, oh, you're just immature and all this and all these things going on, right? But then there's some advice to young people as well, that if you want to be treated like a grown-up, you need to act like a grown-up. And that's a bit difficult as well, being acting that way, so forth. So we all know the story of a young person growing up, because we've been there, we've grown up. So when we say the young people, this is what happens. We know what happens because we've been there. And but the thing is, with all of our lives and recognizing that all of this independence, that really we are growing and we are changing, and we need to recognize as well, young people, that, you know, your parents don't want you to grow up. That is the crux of the whole matter. Because they know that within a few years or 1 year, your bedroom is going to be empty. And they've been used to looking into your bedroom, right? And seeing you, maybe hearing you just breathing nicely, right? And so the parents have within their feeling already, like, this place is not going to have my child in there. And again, I can tell you from experience, my wife and I, we had empty bedrooms way, way too early when our children went to boarding school. And we oftentimes went into the bedroom. And we prayed for our children, because the bedroom was empty, right? And so parents don't want young people to grow up, because they're not looking forward to this. They're not looking forward to that empty spot on the driveway where their vehicle used to stand. And, you know, the laughter and the echo in the home of hearing that and knowing that that's not going to be there. So sometimes that's what parents, they don't want to tell you that. But really, that's what they are afraid of. They don't want to face this whole area of young people growing up. And then, of course, there's the second stage of independence. And that is that, well, let's read it. John tells us about it. He said, or God talking to John, he says to him, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grew old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. So that's their second stage of independence. There is a youthful stage, and then there is that stage of where someone will take our hand and they will lead us to a place where we do not want to go. In other words, we will not have the opportunity to make decisions on our own, right? And so we know that there's those two big areas from one end of our lives to the other of independence. So let us look at independence, the word that I made up myself. And that is being, really what it means is being dependent upon. Now we know Daniel Webster doesn't have it in his dictionary yet, but he probably will in a little while. But so being independent, in other words, I am dependent on someone else. And I need to recognize that. If I don't recognize that, then if we're within the age of accountability, we'll understand that that really is the reality, right? That there's no such a thing as being independent. Because just when you think that you're independent from something, something else will jump up and grab you around the neck and make you dependent on it. So we are never independent. As much as we would like to be, and as much as we, you know, have this vision in our minds of being independent, there's no such a thing. And so, as I said, we will always be dependent upon someone else. So the first thing that I want to mention is that we are independent, in other words, dependent upon God's Word. And that should be the very basic structure of all of our lives, of all our society, of the things that we know, our parents and all of these things. But we need to be dependent upon God's Word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean upon your own understanding. And I know we like to quote this to young people, right? But it really, we need to hear it oftentimes as well as as mature people. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh, refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom He delights. And no matter what area of the church that we are involved in, right, we need to have God's Word and be dependent upon God's Word in our lives. And so when things become a bit rocky in our lives, we need God's Word because it gives us stability. When things are going well, it will remind us that we need to be humble. And it will remind us of the fact that it is God that is helping us and in all of our situations. Romans 17 says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me." Again, no amens, please. "That is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." So the moral of this whole story is this. Since nothing good dwells in me, and if something good happens, I shouldn't be tempted to take any credit for it. Right? That's really the moral of the story. Because he says right there, he says that, there's nothing good that is within me. And we need to understand this. And understand the fact that we need to rely upon God at all times. We can have all kinds of education, we can have all kinds of life experiences and all of these things, but underlying it all needs to be this understanding of myself, that I need God, and that God needs to help me. And when He has helped me, He gets the honor. And this is one of the things I learned in my life, and that was that, when things were going bad, I just said, "Well, God, I think You called me here. So it's Your problem." And then when things are going good, well, it's also Your honor, right? And that's where God wants us to be. To be able to say to Him, "It's Your problem because You called me." But then as well, when something happens, to recognize it's also Your honor. And that's sometimes where we forget it. We forget to honor Him who really gives us the strength and gives us the opportunity to serve Him. Then secondly, we are independent when we respect and honor each other. Romans 12 says, "For I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Our human nature always wants I. We want to be in the forefront. And I'm sure you've heard this illustration probably a lot of times. If you've been in the church any more than 2 or 3 years, you've heard this illustration, but let me just repeat it, right? The elephant and the mouse were crossing the bridge. And the mouse turns to the elephant and says, "Don't we make this bridge squeak?" Sometimes that's our relationship. when something's happening, we take all the credit, even though like we are the size of the mouse and that bridge is squeaking. But God has done it all. And we need to give God the honor and the glory for things that he has done. And we know that in this day and age, businesses, they like to run motivational seminars with their employees, stressing self-assertiveness and being in command. And their mantra oftentimes is, employees work harder, not for you, but for themselves. So really the trick behind it is to try to get the employee to think that he's the important guy, but all the time he's making money for the owner of the business, right? So we have all of these mantras going on. And, one thing I've noticed in people that have taken these seminars to become self-assertive and all these things, stand right and project your voice right and all of these things, some people have a hard time leaving it at the office. And so their interpersonal relationship within the family becomes very strained, right? Because they try to bring that same thing without them knowing it into the family. And into their interpersonal relationship, even within a congregation or wherever. So we need to just learn where we need to use these things and allow the Lord as well to teach us where we are to use these things, where we're not to use it. And then thirdly, we are independent when we help others to succeed. And maybe this is taking a bit of scripture out of context, but sometimes when you get my age, you're allowed to do that, right? So Genesis chapter 1, 9-1 says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." We are to be out there multiplying the kingdom of God. I don't think he was only talking about just producing babies, right? And, let's hope the storks have a good year this year. No, I think that it's also, he's talking here about multiplying the kingdom of God within the church. That should be our goal. We should be multiplying all the time. And we should be on the lookout for people whom we can get involved with to work with us. In the modern day, we call it mentoring, right? And this becomes a little difficult for us when we get older. You know, the older you get, the harder it is to mentor somebody because you're afraid it's going to take your pew. Oh, chairs. Yeah, okay, chairs. We moved the pews out. And so we hang on to things even within the church, within the areas that we are at, because, involvement still means to us, and means more and more to us as we get older, that we are still important. Now, unfortunately, that's the way it is. That's part of our psychology. That's part of our lives, right? That's the part of the way we is that where we are. We try to hang on to something so that we still feel important. But I just encourage you, even within the congregation, be adventurous. You know, if you've been teaching Sunday school for 100 years, try something else. Like try being an usher or try doing something else. Sometimes, we get into a different area you work in and we just say, wow, if I'd have known this before, like I would have tried this before. So I really encourage you, even though you're volunteering in an area, you've done it for a long time and are good at it and so forth, but it's good to be adventurous, right, and to try a new area of ministry in the church as well. Maybe you've been driving a Ford all your life. Give Dodge Ram a try. Just give it a try. No Dodge Rammers here? One. Okay, good. A couple. There we go. You guys try Ford. You'll be okay. And then we're also independent or dependent upon others when we have a common goal. And, being involved in the ministry of the church, it's not a golf game. Like, you're not playing your own game. You're not out there just, hoping that, working for your own score, right? But it is a team sport of where we work together and to see the work of God going ahead. And, in church, the fewer spectators, the better. We've got lots of spectators, but we really need people to give of themselves. And like I said before, like I do not underestimate at all people in the pew that are praying, that are giving, right? We all have our place. But if we have the talents and the opportunity as well to be involved on a very practical level in some other areas, we need to do it. And we need to remember that we all have the same coach. We all have the same owner, Jesus Christ. Right? Same owner, same coach, working for the same person, for the same organization. So, just in closing, let's just repeat. We need to be dependent on God's word, in respect and honor to each other, in helping others to succeed, and also independent in having a common goal. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And I'm a firm believer in this whole area that mediocrity has no place in God's word, in God's work. We need to do the best. And I was reminded of that again this week. Did anybody get a brochure like this? If you're living on Scott Street, I know you did. Here's a brochure that says, you are invited to gospel meetings. Who do you think put that out? Maybe Home Depot? This brochure is well done, right? Y'all agree it's well done? From the little church across the road. I said, wow, like they've got it together. Like they are representing God's work in a positive way. No little handwritten bulletin, oh, come join us. And that's my idea of God's work. Within the church, within my own life, right? Within our assembly. And that is to do it well. Because when people see us doing well, and when they see us living well, they as well will be drawn to the Lord who does all things well. And so again, in closing, we just we're so grateful again for the opportunity of really getting into our fall time, of being able to minister to every aspect of this congregation, every age aspect. And again, it's just our appreciation to everyone that is involved in it. And we look forward to the Lord's hand being upon us, right? As we do those things that God has given us to do. So let's stand in closing. And I don't know who you are today. Maybe you're battling situation in your life. Maybe it might be health. Maybe all kinds of other things, right? Family situations or whatever it is. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you're searching or seeking for God. And I just want to tell you again that our altars are always open. We're always here for prayer. So we don't even have to invite you. We just know that every Sunday, right? That there are people here that are willing to pray for you. And know as well that God is there and He wants to speak into your life. Lord, we want to thank you again today for the opportunity that we have of standing in your presence. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for being so gracious to us. And you've said in your word in such simple language that if we come to you and if we acknowledge our sins and acknowledge the fact that we are sinners, that you will forgive us. And it's just in a twinkling of an eye, we become your children. We become those that stand righteous before you. And so thank you once again for that great fact in your word. And we pray to you that you would help us to become dependent upon each other. First of all, upon you, dear Lord. And we know that as that happens in our lives, that it's much easier to become dependent upon others as well, and allowing them to become dependent upon us as we work together in your kingdom. And so again, this morning, we want to just give you the honor and the praise because you are worthy. And thank you for the worship team that has led us in that praise even this morning. And we just bless your name for them and for them leading us into your presence in worship and just acknowledging again, allowing us to acknowledge through song that you are worthy and that you love us and you care for us. So be with us as we go our separate ways throughout the week, the different things happening throughout the week as people that are involved in different areas as they prepare for the weekend and during the week. And Jaron, you think of Jaron and the young people as they do different things during the week and also the children. And each one, dear Lord, the ladies as they are gathering together, we just present everything to you during this week and pray that your blessing would rest upon it and that we would give you the honor and the glory for everything. Amen.